Climate change the facts. False Prophets Unveiled by Andrew Bolt. Andrew Bolt is a columnist with the Herald Sun, Daily Telegraph, and The Advertiser, and host of Channel 10's The Bolt Report. Not once when boarding a ship have I thought of ducking into the bridge to give the captain pre-voyage tips on navigation. He's the expert. Still, if I'd booked for Nomiya only to dock in Karachi, I would know this. Whatever the captain's credentials, he'd goofed. We weren't where he'd promised to take us, and him screaming that he understands the sailing business better than do I, while true, won't cut it. Next time, I'm flying. I thought such a principle was so obvious that all laymen would consult it in every contact with any professional. Your new implant falls out? Sack the dentist. Your extension falls down? Sue the builder. Clowns, both of them. But in one tiny yet catastrophically expensive field of human endeavor, this law seems to have been suspended for a decade or two. Yes, climate science. This is the science where 1 + 1 = 3, 1 day and 6 the next, yet never may the layman question the expert at the blackboard, or the shill demanding a few billion to make the sum equal no more than 2. This must change, and I believe finally is. The tyranny of the experts is now crumbling. The common sense of the layman is at last being restored. Hey, didn't you guys say it would never flood? Then what's this stuff that's washed my car down my Queensland street? Didn't you also predict runaway warming? So why these 16 years of non-warming? Think I'll get me some new experts. See, after more than a decade of scares, we are now getting the years of the busted predictions that, this isn't Nomiya moment at the top of the gangplank. We are waking up to nearly 2 decades of wild predictions by experts who now look like geese to the sane, despite still being hailed as gurus by the last holdouts of the global warming faith, in Parliament, in universities, and in the great fortress of our state broadcaster. But how hard the politicians have worked to make us trust the very people we should have questioned before we handed over $8 billion a year in carbon taxes to splurge on making no difference at all to the weather. Think back to 2007, the year Professor Tim Flannery, the professional alarmist, had warned Sydney, Brisbane, and Adelaide could run out of water. In Sydney, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, with a huge dam nearly two-thirds full on the other side of the city, instructed Australians to ignore the few of us now pointing out Emperor Flannery had no dry clothes. Trust the experts, he demanded, and not those amateurs pointing out they docked in Karachi. The truth is that the do-nothing climate change skeptics offer no alternative official body of evidence from any credible government in the world, Rudd said in his Lowy Institute speech. Then came my exciting name check in Rudd's list of those who must not be heeded. Malcolm Turnbull, Joyce Barnaby, Andrew, Janet Albrechtson. Stop gambling with our future. You've got to know when to fold 'em, and for the skeptics, that time has come. Oh, really? Fast forward to 2011, and it was the turn of Rudd's successor, Julia Gillard, to demand Australians listen only to experts such as the Bureau of Meteorology, which 3 years earlier had actually predicted the long drought was our new normal, and, quote, perhaps we should call it our new climate. We'd since had 2 years of devastating floods in Queensland, as well as floods in New South Wales and Victoria, yet Gillard still insisted Australians trust the Bureau's alarmists. I ask, who would I rather have on my side, she said. Alan Jones, Piers Ackerman and Andrew Bolt, or the CSIRO, the Australian Academy of Science, the Bureau of Meteorology, NASA, the U.S. National Atmospheric Administration, and every reputable climate scientist in the world? Every reputable climate scientist in the world, that is, except those such as Professor Richard Lindzen and Dr. Roy Spencer, who warned and warned again that the world simply wasn't warming as the warmest predicted. But arguments are settled by evidence, not a show of hands. As Albert Einstein reportedly said in response to the book 100 Authors Against Einstein, disputing his new theory of relativity, Why 100 authors? If I were wrong, then one would have been enough. One fact can disprove even 1,000 experts. And that is what the layman must never forget. Truth is decided by evidence, not qualifications or a show of hands. True, the average climate scientist is far better equipped than the average layman to understand where the truth lies, but facts sometimes speak so loudly that even the greatest scientist can be doubted. Those include the crotchety moments, when what the experts predicted has been contradicted by time and facts. When we learned that whatever map a climate scientist was reading, it's brought us to the wrong place. I've listed below 20 of those moments that give us not just a reason to doubt the alarmists, but a duty. But let's first look at the biggest prediction of them all, that the planet will heat dangerously and fast. This is the meta prediction upon which all the other predictions hang, about fast rising seas, failing crops, melting ice caps, permanent droughts, worse epidemics, and mass extinctions. In 2001, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, predicted a huge and rapid rise in global surface temperatures thanks to man's emissions. Projections using these scenarios in a range of climate models result in an increase in globally average temperatures of 1.4 to 5.8 degrees Celsius over the period 1990 to 2100. A rise in temperatures of up to 6 degrees this century? Cue terrifying scenarios. Professor James Lovelock, the world-famous Gaia guru, warned in 2006 we'd be wiped out. Before this century is over, billions of us will die, and the few breeding pairs of people that survive will be in the Arctic, where the climate remains tolerable. Professional alarmist Professor Tim Flannery in 2007, at the height of the warming scare and 4 years before being appointed Australia's chief climate commissioner, said the certainty of big rises in temperature meant we faced mass extinctions. 3 degrees will be a disaster for all life on Earth. It could be worse than this. There's a 10% chance of truly catastrophic rises in temperatures, so we're looking at 6 degrees or so. Journalist Mark Linus was inspired to write the bestseller 6 Degrees, Predicting an Apocalypse. This in turn inspired Channel 9's A Current Affair in 2007 to show huge balls of fire smashing into cities by the end of the century, as a narrator intoned, "This is 6 Degrees. Flash floods, gas and methane fireballs racing across the globe with the power of atomic bombs. Life on Earth ends in apocalyptic storms." But a curious thing happened. As the years went by, the world's atmospheric temperatures stubbornly refused to rise. In fact, by 2014, that pause in the warming had lasted 16 or 17 years, depending on which data sets are consulted. The leaked ClimateGate emails showed growing alarm at this pause among the very IPCC climate scientists most responsible for the warming scare, an alarm they kept amongst themselves. For example, Dr. Phil Jones, director of the Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia, privately confessed in 2005, quote, "The scientific community would come down on me in no uncertain terms if I said the world had cooled from 1998. Okay, it has, but it is only 7 years of data, and it isn't statistically significant." Dr. Kevin Turnberth in 2009 wondered, "Where the heck is global warming?" Adding, "The fact is that we can't account for the lack of warming at the moment, and it is a travesty that we can't." Jones in 2009 counseled against panic. Bottom line, the no upward trend has to continue for a total of 15 years before we get worried. The trend of no warming has since exceeded that 15-year mark. But whatever their private doubts, the warmest kept denying publicly that their predictions really were bust. In 2008, for instance, Britain's warmest Met Office insisted, quote, "We expect that warming will resume in the next few years." It hasn't, of course. In 2012, Professor Matthew England of the NSW Climate Change Research Center even appeared on the ABC's Q&A to rebuke former Industry Minister Nick Minchin for simply saying what the Met had already admitted, that the planet's atmosphere had not warmed since 1998 by any statistically significant amount. What Nick just said is actually not true, England insisted. The IPCC projections from 1990 of steady rises have borne out very accurately. England later even accused skeptics of lying that the IPCC projections are overstatements. So imagine my surprise when, just 2 years later in 2014, England admitted that there had been a hiatus and plateau in global average temperatures after all. Indeed, Dr. Roy Spencer, who runs the University of Alabama at Huntsville, global temperature data collated by NASA's AQUA satellite, says the climate models used to predict man-made warming of up to 6% this century have so far failed miserably. More than 95% of the 90 climate models had, quote, over-forecast the warming trend since 1979. He added, whether humans are the cause of 100% of the observed warming or not, the conclusion is that global warming isn't as bad as was predicted. Good heavens! So many flawed predictions, then, from so many experts who for years shouted down skeptics with the cry, respect the science. Don't argue. 97% of scientists agree. And meanwhile, behind the scenes, the frantic search is on to find their missing heat. It's hiding in the oceans. No, it's suppressed by aerosols. No, wait. It's masked by natural factors that will soon give way, and then, watch out. Except the bottom line is that many experts no longer quite agree with what they once predicted about our rising atmospheric temperatures, and our apocalyptic fever is slowly waning. In 2012, even Lovelock, the gay and catastrophist, admitted he'd been, quote, alarmist, and so had other leaders of the warming alarm, including Flannery and Al Gore. The problem is we don't know what the climate is doing. We thought we knew 20 years ago. That led to some alarmist books, mine included, because it looked clear-cut. But it hasn't happened, Lovelock said. The world has not warmed up very much since the millennium. 12 years is a reasonable time. It, the temperature, has stayed almost constant, whereas it should have been rising. Had Lovelock been our captain, we'd be sailing to the Arctic. Except now, he says, we'll be landing just where we started from after all. Someone goofed, and we should duck into the bridge to say so. Prediction. Our drought is permanent, and our cities may run out of water. In 2005, Flannery, then Climate Council head, predicted, we've seen just drought, drought, drought. If you look at Sydney's Werragamba catchment figures since 98, the water has been in virtual freefall, and they've got about 2 years of supply left. The changes, do seem to be of a permanent nature. In fact, the drought then broke. Werragamba, Sydney's main dam, has since filled to overflowing. In 2009, Flannery predicted, the soil is warmer because of global warming, and the plants are under more stress and therefore using more moisture. So even the rain that falls isn't actually going to fill our dams and our river systems. In fact, Queensland, New South Wales, and Victoria have since suffered severe floods. Dams in Brisbane, Sydney, and Canberra have all filled. In 2007, Flannery predicted, in Adelaide, Sydney, and Brisbane, water supplies are so low they need desalinated water urgently, possibly in as little as 18 months. In fact, both Sydney and Brisbane's dams were more than 85% full as of March 2014. Adelaide's catchments were 62% full. Sydney and Brisbane have mothballed their desalination plants. In 2009, Bertrand Timball, a Bureau of Meteorology climatologist, predicted, the rainfall we had in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s was a benchmark, but we are just not going to have that sort of good rain again as long as the system is warming up. In fact, the Bureau has since declared 2010 and 2011 Australia's wettest two-year period on record. Prediction: the Great Barrier Reef is being wiped out by warming. In 1999, Professor Ove Hof-Goldberg, a Queensland University reef expert and an Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change lead author, predicted warming would so heat the oceans that mass bleaching of the reef would occur every second year from 2010. In fact, the reef's last mass bleaching occurred in 2006. In 2000, Hof-Goldberg claimed, "We now have more evidence that corals cannot fully recover from bleaching episodes such as the major event in 1998, and, quote, the overall damage is irreparable." In fact, Hof-Goldberg admitted in 2009 he was, quote, overjoyed to see how much the reef had recovered, and the Australian Institute of Marine Science says most reefs recovered fully. In 2006, Hof-Goldberg warned high temperatures meant between 30% and 40% of coral on Queensland's Great Barrier Reef could die within a month. In fact, Hof-Goldberg later admitted this bleaching had a minimal impact. In 2011, Hof-Goldberg predicted a large-scale mortality of reef-building corals on West Australian reefs from Shark Bay to Exmouth within 3 months. In fact, Hof-Goldberg later admitted the famous Ningaloo Reef, the largest there, actually had a narrow escape. Prediction: global warming is causing massive rises in sea levels, drowning islands. In 2007, Professor Mike Archer, Dean of Science at the University of New South Wales, said, "Forget Venice. I mean, we're talking about sharks in the middle of Sydney, because the seas would rise 100 meters. The ABC's chief science presenter, Robin Williams, agreed, "It is possible, yes, that this would occur before the end of this century." In fact, sea level rises for the past 20 years have averaged just 3.2 millimeters a year, according to the University of Colorado Monitoring, or 30 centimeters a century. Sea levels have slowly risen since 1880, well before human influence on the climate is said to have become significant. In 2006, warmist alarmist Gore claimed in his film, An Inconvenient Truth, that seas were rising so fast, quote, "That's why the citizens of these Pacific nations have all had to evacuate to New Zealand." In fact, in a British court case, Justice Michael Burton found, quote, "There is no evidence of any such evacuation having yet happened." In 2013, Labour Foreign Minister Bob Carr claimed the Pacific island of Kiribati is at the front line of climate change, and unless action is taken, Kiribati will be uninhabitable by 2030 as a result of coastal erosion, sea level rise, and saltwater intrusion into drinking water. In fact, the 1993 to 2011 sea level trend data from Tarawa Atoll, part of Kiribati, shows no rise in sea level. The most populous atoll of Kiribati, the tiny islet of Betio, has increased in size by a third over the past 60 years. In 2010, an Auckland University survey noted that 86% of 27 Pacific islands studied, including Kiribati and Tuvalu, had grown or stayed the same size over the past 20 to 60 years. Prediction: our drought will be permanent. In 2003, Melbourne warmist scientist David Karoly claimed, "Drought severity in the Murray-Darling is increasing with global warming." In fact, the rains returned, the Murray-Darling flooded, and the Climate Commission in 2011 admitted, "It is difficult from observations alone to unequivocally identify anything that is distinctly unusual about the post-1950 pattern of rainfall." Prediction: sea ice is vanishing and the Arctic will be ice-free. In 2008, Flannery asked people to imagine a world 5 years from now when there is no more ice over the Arctic, and Gore predicted the entire North Polar ice cap will be gone in 5 years. Ted Scambos of the U.S. Snow and Ice Data Center told the ABC there was a, quote, very strong case that in 2012 or 2013 we'll have an ice-free summer Arctic. In fact, at the height of the summer melt last year, the Arctic was still covered by 6 million square kilometers of ice, more than in the previous 3 years. In 2009, Gore predicted the Antarctic would melt away too. They're seeing the complete disappearance of the polar ice caps. Professor Chris Turney of the New South Wales Climate Change Research Center in 2013 led an expedition to Antarctica claiming, quote, sea ice is disappearing due to climate change. In fact, the seas around Antarctica had more ice cover in 2013 than seen since satellite records started in the late 1970s. NASA says sea ice cover in Antarctica has grown 1.5% a decade for several decades. Turney's expedition got trapped in sea ice and had to be rescued. Prediction: there will be no snow. In 2000, Dr. David Viner of the Climatic Research Unit of Britain's University of East Anglia claimed that within a few years, winter snowfall would become a very rare and exciting event, and children just weren't going to know what snow is. In 2007, Sir John Houghton, former head of Britain's Met Office, said, less snow is absolutely in line with what we expect from global warming. In fact, 5 of the Northern Hemisphere's 6 snowiest winters in the past 46 years have occurred since Viner's prediction, according to Rutgers University Global Snow Lab numbers. Over 2/3 of the contiguous USA were covered with snow in the winter of 2013-14. Prediction: we are not going through a plateau or pause in global temperatures. In 2007, Britain's Met Office said, by 2014, we're predicting it will be 0.3 degrees warmer than 2004. In fact, the Met Office data for 2013 confirmed there had been no statistically significant rise in global atmospheric temperatures for at least 16 years. In 2012, Professor Matthew England, a University of New South Wales climate scientist, claimed there was no hiatus in global warming, and skeptics claiming that the warming was lower than predicted by the IPCC were, quote, lying. In fact, in 2014, England admitted that there was a plateau in global average temperatures after all. Climate scientist Professor Judith Curry told the U.S. Congress this year, quote, for the past 16 years, there has been no significant increase in surface temperature. The IPCC does not have a convincing or confident explanation for this hiatus in warming. Prediction: global warming will cause starvation. In 2001, the IPCC predicted global warming would affect wheat and more severely rice productivity in India. In 2012, the Australian Conservation Foundation claimed it will be less and less likely that we can feed the human population if climate change continues on its present trajectory. In fact, since 1960, global wheat and rice production has tripled, and corn production is almost 5 times higher. Record harvests were recorded over the past decade, including in India. Prediction: hurricanes and cyclones will get worse. In 2006, Gore, in An Inconvenient Truth, claimed Hurricane Katrina was evidence of global warming, adding, we have seen in the last couple of years a lot of big hurricanes. In 2011, Greens leader Bob Brown claimed Cyclone Yasi was caused by the coal mining industry because it's the single biggest cause, burning coal, for climate change. In fact, in 2013, the IPCC admitted it had low confidence in claims of large-scale changes in the intensity of extreme extratropical cyclones since 1900 and the number of cyclones. They added that since hurricanes reaching land had fallen over periods of a century or more, evidence suggests slight decreases in the frequency of tropical cyclones making landfall in the North Atlantic and the South Pacific. The Bureau of Meteorology reports fewer cyclones reaching Australia. Prediction: global warming will cause bigger hailstones. In 2007, Professor Ross Garneau, the Rudd government's chief global warming advisor, ordered a steel roof for his Melbourne home, telling his local council global warming would produce severe and more frequent hailstorms. In fact, the IPCC last year admitted there is low confidence in observed trends in small-scale severe weather phenomena such as hail and thunderstorms. Climate Change: The Facts is published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved.